Good evening. All right. Thank the Lord for, again, being here tonight, his blessings unto us all. I appreciate God just coming down. I hate missing service, and I really hate missing Sunday school. Not Sunday school, but singing. I like the singing because I feel like it sets the tone a lot of times for the service. So when God comes down and blesses us in the singing, I'm very thankful for that. I'm going to need your prayers tonight. I don't want to belabor the point that the Lord has given me. I feel like it's a short message, but it's something that is to bless and encourage our hearts, to help us along life's way, that we make heaven our home, that we be men, women, and children of God in a better way. So please pray for me. I want to do the will of God. I want to be blessed and be a blessing. All right, the word that the Lord gave me was expectation. And I find it interesting that that song that we sang is close to the word anticipation, expectation. I find that interesting, but the Lord knows how to order the service, and I believe God did that. And I thank God for that. He knows that I needed that encouragement. All right, expectation means a strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. All right, and some synonyms or some like words would be an assumption, a presumption, to surmise, to predict, or the word hope. And remember the word hope. Hope is an important word and when you're talking about expectation. The Christian, as Christians, we have expectation and expectations. And it is, we need the Lord to, just like we need the Lord to give us an understanding of who he is and what he is unto us, we also need him to help us to have realistic expectation. That the expectation that we have be based in reality, the truth of God's word. Many a soul can become discouraged because what they expected to have and what they do have, there's a difference in the two. And so there's discouragement that can be had when that happens. But God wants to give us an understanding on what to expect from our relationship with him, what to expect from him, what he is expecting of us. And then we have that based in reality so that we're not easily wavered. We're not easily lose our balance, lose foundation. We need the Lord to bless us in that way. There's a few scriptures. I'm going to get right into it. In Psalms number 9 and verse number 18, it talks about expectation. All right. Verse number 18 in Psalm reads, 9 and 8 reads, "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." The scripture above that, verse number 17, reads, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." All right. So in this scripture, it talks about needy. All right. It talks about in Matthew, blessed are the what? Pure in heart. Does it talk about anything about poor and needy? It's poor in spirit. So poor, needy, those that are without. All right. So in our relationship with God, we need to always look at, when we're talking about what we want from God, what we want to always look at is our spiritual need first. All right. So when God says in this scripture, when the scripture comes out, "For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever." What that's speaking to first and foremost is the needs of my soul. All right. We talked about in that song that we forget the things that are past. We're not worried about the things down here. They are secondary to the needs of my soul. And so God is most concerned with, and he is most wanting us to be concerned with, the needs of our soul. So when we come to God, many times when we pray, if we'll be honest, many times what we're touching upon are the things of this life. The things that are going to perish when we leave here and when the world is burnt up. We don't address the needs of our souls first. And so then we become disappointed with the lack of blessings or whatever it is that we want, that we associate what it is that we want from God. We can get disappointed. But God is concerned first and foremost with my soul's need. All right, he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then what? All these things, these needs, shall be added unto you, right? So the things that we need for this life, whether we get them or not, they become secondary to the needs of my soul. I cannot go into, some people do this. They go into salvation because they notice the lives of Christians, that they are blessed. Sister Kim talks about it. People get saved and they begin to go, they come out of the gutter. Listen, God doesn't save us and leave us in the miry clay. He lifts us up and also out. He plants our feet upon a rock. He establishes our going. He puts a new song in our mouth, even praises unto our God. And so what we're talking about here is many times people look at salvation, they see that the Christian is happy and free, and so they want that. But they don't want what it takes in order to get that. All right, I have to have a salvation in my soul, and then my expectation first and foremost is, Lord, do something about the needs of my soul. All right, God is not going to put the needs of this body, the needs of the temporal, above the needs of the eternal. Does that make sense? All right, he says, and my God shall supply how many of our needs? All of our needs, according to what? His riches and glory. So God is going to supply our need, whether it be financial, whether it be spiritual, emotional, physical, whatever the need may be. If you can think of a need, God is going to supply that need. But it does not come before the needs of my soul. Many times God uses the needs of this body, this flesh, to point us towards the needs of our soul. He's not going to do some of the things that we're begging God to do. He's not going to do it because that very thing that we're begging God for is what's causing us to stay on our knees. It's what's causing us to draw closer to the Lord. It's what's causing us to find out what is the need that I have in my soul. We start bringing us. I find that when I have a need before the Lord and I start searching my life for what is going on in the spiritual man, that's when I begin to gain traction, and that's when I begin, whether or not God fulfills the need that I think I have, when my soul gets right, then things, they begin to go a lot better. That's how God works, all right? That's how God works. God is going to deal with us based upon our soul condition because he knows that even if we don't have all this stuff that we think we need, all right, long as we make heaven, then that's game over. We win that one. All right. And that's what God wants for us. All right. So I'm going to go to another scripture in Psalms. All right. Keep continuing to pray for me. This is not going to be a long message, but I want it to serve the purpose that God has for us. So Psalm 62, we're going to read verses 1-5. It says here, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not greatly be moved. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, and this is our scripture here, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Many times what happens in our life, in our Christian experience, we will begin to rely upon something other than God to deal with the problems that we are having in our life. We're saved and we're still saved. And we may or may not know that we are relying on ourselves. But God has to teach us that He only is our rock. He's our refuge. He's our strength, a very present help in trouble. I can't rely upon myself. I can't rely upon anybody else. My expectation, if I have that on me, if I have that upon my wife, upon my husband, upon my children, many times, by no fault of their own, I will be disappointed. I'm expecting from somebody that God made to do what I need God to do for me. How is that going to work? If I'm the husband and I come home and I say, baby, you ain't doing right, you ain't doing this right, you ain't doing that right, and therefore I'm not happy and I'm not going to be happy until you do right. You think that's going to work? Huh? Why not? I'm human. If she do that, I'm human. She's human. We're both human. Even if I do the best that I possibly can to do the best that I can towards my wife, towards my husband, if I'm a woman, all right, I'm still going to be human. And I still cannot fulfill God's role in the relationship. You see? So many times we expect from the wrong person in order to have our needs met when we should be getting our things met by God. All right? Take off the undue expectation off of these people, off of our friends, our loved ones, off of our co-workers, whoever it might be. Take that off of them. They're going to do what they can do by the grace and help of God. But we can expect that if I have a need before the Lord, I can go to God and He can fill my need every single time. What is my expectation? Is it in me? Is it in my wife? Is it in my children? Is it in my family? Is it in the church? Am I expecting the church to pray me into heaven? Huh? Y'all think that happens? And get mad at somebody because they didn't pray hard enough, so I'm having a hard time this week. Uh-uh. My expectation is in God. It says here, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. So I have to, when I have expectation, Lord, help it to be in You. Even when I'm dealing with somebody else, Lord, my prayer is, Lord, it's difficult for me to deal with this individual. Be honest with the Lord. I don't like what's going on here. But first and foremost, Lord, will You help me? I still got to make heaven. I still got to be a child of God. I got to be that light and that example the brother was praying about. You're not going to remove that charge from me. And so, Lord, I'm asking You to change me so that I can do what You want me to do and be that vessel unto honor in this unsavory and whatever you want to call it, situation. I don't like this situation. So, Lord, I want You to change me and make me into something that whether You change this situation or not, Lord, I'm going to serve You, I'm going to please You, and I ain't going to do it begrudgingly. I'm going to do it because I love You, and I'm going to have peace and joy in my soul while I'm doing it by the grace and help of God. You see? God can do that for us. But if I'm expecting that out of that individual, I'll be disappointed every time. Even if they try their hardest, they can't do God's job. Only God can do His job. All right, so we have to put our faith, our trust, our expectation in God. All right, remember the word hope. Hope, expectation, all right, same thing. All right, moving forward. Going to Proverbs 10 and 28. Keep praying for me. I'm going to keep saying that because I need it. All right, just keep praying for me. That's all. The devil, he always fights us. Either he's going to fight us in the pulpit, he's going to fight us during the week, he's going to fight us in the sleep, he's going to fight us some kind of way, because he doesn't want y'all to know this. All right? But God, He gave it to us, so we're going to give it to you by the grace and help of God. Y'all just keep praying. All right. So the word says here in Proverbs 10 and 28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. How many people you know are living in a way that they know is not pleasing to God, but they're expecting to go to heaven? How is that going to work? How is that going to work? If you old as me, there was a song that came out back in the day. It was a rap song, and it was called Gangster's Paradise. Yeah, Gangster's Paradise. And it was about living your life as a gangster. And then you're going to go to, there's a basically a heaven for a gangster. I would point anybody that believes in that to Proverbs 10 and 28. I don't believe that there's a gangster's paradise. And I don't believe that somebody can preach you into heaven neither. I don't believe that you can be prayed into heaven once you die. Either you going or you not. That's the way it goes. If we want to go to heaven, then we got to live like we want to go to heaven. Ain't no gangster's paradise. Ain't no hypocrite's paradise. Ain't none of that. Lord, by the grace and help of God, Lord, I'm going to do what you want me to do by your grace and help and mercy. It is God that worketh in us both to and to of his good pleasure. So by your grace and help, I'm going to put my faith, my hope, my trust in you, my expectation in you, and you will help me to be what I need to be. Because if I don't, then Proverbs 10 and 28 applies to me. The hope of the righteousness shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. All right? There's no blessing in living in a wicked way. God is not going to bless that. We're not going to get what we're even in life. All right. Now, I'm not talking about in the eternal life. I'm talking about right here and right now. This scripture applies to that, too. Many times we think people in sin, they think they're doing a good thing. They think they're ahead. They think they're winning. But they don't know that the trap is being set. And once he has you, then he can do to you what he wants you once he has you. So as long as the trap is still being set, you don't just, if you go fishing, you cast your line out into the water with the bait on it. If you pull that line out the water when you first feel the nibble, you ain't going to get the fish. You're not going to get the, you got to let that fish, he got to tug on a little bit, the bobber go down. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Tug on a little bit. And then when you know he on there, then you pull back on it and hook him right in the mouth and try as he might. See, because the fish fight. The bigger the fish, sometimes little fish fight hard. You just fighting and you pull him on in because you got the hook in. See, what the enemy is doing, what he's trying to trick our young people with, what he tried to do with us is keep us blind to the fact that there's bait on this hook and he don't want us to see that hook. You see? And then once that hook is set, it don't matter if we see the hook or not. We can't, fish don't have, they don't have arms. So they can't reach up and pull the hook out. You see what I'm saying? The enemy has traps like that. So the expectation of the wicked shall perish. You're not going to get good things going in the wrong direction. Choose God. Go with God. And you will be gladness. Your expectation will be gladness. You'll have goodness in your life. All right. Proverbs 11:23. All right. It says here, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. All right. This verse, when I read this verse, it spoke volumes to me. There is no room for a Christian to wish ill on others. That's not my job as a Christian. My job, I want people to if they're not living right, to get saved. If they're saved, to stay saved. If they're struggling, that the Lord would help them and that my prayers would be effective in helping them get on some solid footing. Because I am not, as a Christian, to wish ill on anybody. Vengeance is whose? So that means me, right? Vengeance is mine. It don't stop there, does it? Saith the who? Saith the Lord. Not me. So I don't have to. Listen, people do us wrong. Let's be honest. The enemy, he uses people to do us wrong. Sometimes when they do us wrong, they don't even know they're being used. You see? Because they are, again, being forced by that hook in the mouth, by that trap that the enemy has them in. You see? But when wrong is done, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with what? With good. Lord, help us. So we're not wishing bad on other people. Sometimes it's a difficult thing because we feel like we understand what people deserve when they do us wrong. Let's be honest. You done something to us, something need to happen to you. Huh? Is that true? There's a temptation there, isn't it? But God help us. We are not to, it says here, the desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. This is charity. This is the precursor to charity. Covering a multitude of sin, perfect love, covering sin, that kind of thing. When people do us wrong, God help us. God is expecting us. If we're going to have an expectation and a hope, then God is expecting us not to be wishing ill will on others. Not to be hoping that something will wake them up. And you know what I mean. We do want people to be woken up, but that it ain't our job to be wishing ill will on them so that they can be woken up. God help us. Amen. Almost done here. Philippians 1 and 20. Appreciate your prayers. All right. Philippians 1 and 20 reads, according to my earnest expectation and my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Why is that in there? Huh? Life or death? Why is that in there? Let me ask you this question. Was Stephen stoned? Was he stoned? Brother Stephen. You see, sometimes we get discouraged. Lord, I've been in this trial for I don't know how long. This person been doing me wrong, been throwing stones at me in a spiritual sense, mistreating me, doing me in. And Lord, I'm expecting you to do something about that. Stop them from throwing them stones. Now, God can do that. I'm not saying he doesn't do that. Sometimes he does. But sometimes we're going to get stoned. God is expecting us to love him enough that when he allows that difficulty to come our way, that we love him anyway. How can I receive good of the Lord? And that's all good. But then when God wants to use me to show somebody what a Christian does when they're under fire, when those fiery darts are flying thick and fast. When God wants to use me like that, then, Lord, you need to do something about these darts immediately. I'm sick and tired of this. Right? We're standing up in our spirit. We forgot all about humility. We forgot all about love. We forgot all about God's will and God's purpose about being the light of the world, a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. We forgot all about that. What are we thinking about? Me. I'm thinking about me. Now, you want to find a way to get yourself in trouble with the Lord? Start worrying about me and protecting me. The devil means to knock us off track. And God is not always going to immediately stop the attack that the enemy is hurling at us. Brother Job and many others. Right? But God is wanting to get glory out of my life and your life. God help us. I'm not telling you this is easy or fun. I'm saying that there's a way to do it, and God is wanting us. He's expecting us. If we're going to expect to make heaven, then he's expecting us to go through on his terms. Yes. Remember in Hebrews, it talked about those that went through great tribulation? Yes. Talked about they were sawn asunder. They were stoned. Yes. Whom the world was not worthy. How come they got to go through all that, but we ain't got to go through a verbal assault? We have our rights, and we're going to protect our rights. Remember the first verse, what we talked about. I'm worried about what God wants me to do first, what he's trying to do in my life first. Lord, this is coming against me. What is it that you're trying to get over to me in this? You want to think about me? Think about me in that way. Lord, what is, how can my soul improve? How can I draw closer to you through these things? Amen. And the devil gonna come in, but it's wrong. It sure is. You should know it's wrong. You're the one that's causing it. Now get away from me and don't talk to me no more. I'm trying to get closer to the Lord. I'm expecting to get a blessing out of this. The greater the trial, the greater the what? I believe that. I believe that. Look in the scripture. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. The greater the trial, the greater the victory, and the greater the blessing.
Thank the Lord.
If and only if I meet his expectation. He's going to help me with that. But I got to be willing to allow him to take me through. Amen. All right. Let me read one more verse. Job 27:8. I appreciate your prayers and your time and your attention. If you beat me to it, Job 27:8 is what we need.
For what is the hope of the hypocrite?
All right.
Though he has gained, did God take it away
from him? Oh, Lord, have mercy. What is the hope of the hypocrite? God have mercy on us. What's that going to do for us? I'm coming to church. I'm crossing my I's. I'm crossing my T's and dotting my I's. I look good to everybody else. But I know that something is not right in my heart towards God. Where is the blessing there? It doesn't matter what other people think about us. If and only if I'm right with God.
Yes.
Only thing that matters is if I'm right with God.
Yes.
What people think about us is going to go up and down.
Yes. Right.
People going to like you because you're a Christian. And let me tell you something else. People not going to like you because you're Christian. That's the way it works.
Yes.
I can't allow that to sway what I'm trying to do. My hope, my expectation is to make heaven my home.
Amen.
I want to be a man of God. If I'm a Christian, I want to be a man, woman, boy, girl of God.
Yes.
And so I can't worry about what others think about me before I worry about what God is thinking of me.
Amen.
We get it wrong sometimes. We want others to think well about us. We want them to think that we're this and we're that. Whatever, you fill in the blank. I don't know what it is. It's a personal thing. But what I need, Lord, is I feel like, and I believe this. Y'all, I could be wrong, but I believe this. I believe it's harder to be a hypocrite than it is to be a real Christian. It's like being a liar and then trying to keep up with all your lies. It's hard. Just tell the truth. If you lie, just say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't tell the truth. Lord, please forgive me. I don't want to do that ever again. But to keep up with the lies, it's you got to tell another lie to protect that lie. And then you get all mixed up. That's how they get the criminals. You know, that's how they get them. They just listen to what they say. Get them talking. And listen to what they say. Sooner or later, something's going to contradict. We got you, buddy. See? Live right. Live right. You're going to do it. You're going to come to church anyway. May as well be saved. You see? May as well be living right so your expectations. Somebody read that again. 27:8. All right. You see? What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What would a man give in exchange for his soul? And so, you notice that it says that the person, that hypocrite, they have gain on this earthly realm. You see? But when God comes to them and says, what kind of condition is your soul in? Then all that gain is for naught. It's for nothing. We understand that we're going to leave here one way or another.
That's right.
We're leaving. If God come back, we're leaving here. If we hear when God come back, we leaving one way or another. If he don't, then we're going to pass away. There's nobody except for a few that God pulled up out of here that didn't meet with that appointment of death. Okay? So we know that's coming. God help us to redeem the time, to find out what it is that God is expecting of us, and then by his grace, by his help, by his mercy, in these last and evil days, we are in evil days, iniquity is abounding, don't let our love wax cold, but by the grace and help of God, we grow stronger and stronger in the Lord.
Amen.
All right. Last scripture is John 4 and 24.
God is a spirit.
Yes.
And they that worship him,
yes,
worship him in spirit and
truth. Amen. We're talking about, again, what we talked about, what we began the message with. What is my expectation? What am I wanting from God? Okay? What am I wanting from my relationship with God?
Yes.
And then, most importantly, what is he expecting of me? And what am I doing about that? The Spirit is more real. Listening, if you ain't heard nothing else I said, hear this. The spiritual realm is more real than the earthly realm or the temporal or the carnal realm, the fleshly realm.
Yes.
The spirit is what that's where everything takes place at. Before you decide something, before you decide to do something, you have a certain spiritual condition. A pre-existing spiritual condition, whether it be geared towards God or geared towards self or the world. That's everybody. And then when the enemy comes with the temptation, whether you're geared toward God or whether you're geared otherwise, that's going to have a lot to do with the choices that you and I make. The spiritual realm is more important and more real than what you and I see. These bodies are just housing units. That's all it is. The spirit is what's most important. And so we have to live in a way that my prayer is, by the grace and help of God, that I live in a way that I am sure of my eternal destination. I'm not worried about it. If I am worried about it, then if you're worried about what's going on with your condition, get on your knees and talk to the one that can do something about it, that can help you with that. But don't have that false hope. Don't have that false expectation. Don't have that unsure expectation. I might make it, I might not. You don't have to. You can make it. And you can know you can make it by the grace and help of God. I desire your prayers. I want to live like God wants me to live. The devil fights me just like he fights you. I think he fights me more now that we're in a position to be used of the Lord. And so I want to live.